invite you to spend the next half hour with Sri Harold Klemp, the Mahanta, the Living Egg Master. As the spiritual leader of Ekankar, Sri Harold travels worldwide, giving out the teachings of the light and sound of God.
So often, when times are good, people don't have much use for God or for the Master in their path, whoever they look to, or an Ekankar to the people don't have sometimes time for the Mahanta, the Living Egg Master, which means both the outer and the inner Master together. But when times get hard, then there's a natural tendency for people to say, I think it's time to call on God and let him know things aren't going so well. You know, it's like that. Somebody has said something to the effect that the wealthy don't need God because they have money, but the poor need religion. So, I don't know. But then people come in their prayers or in their contemplation to their spiritual master or to God directly if they don't look or think specifically of a particular master. And they'll say, I wonder, is God listening? You know, because they've asked to get delivered from whatever it is that they've gotten themselves into, and nothing seems to happen. There was a story on Paul Harvey News and Comment, that's a radio program I listen to since I'm still not watching television. It was an interesting story. There was an elderly couple. And the husband had this feeling that his wife was losing her hearing, so he decided to test her. She was seated in an easy chair facing away from him, so he comes up, stands back several steps, and he says, honey, can you hear me? Nothing. So he takes a couple of steps closer and he says just a little louder, honey, can you hear me? No reply. Now he's concerned. He walks right up to her shoulder, up behind her, bends over and shouts in her ear. He says, honey, can you hear me? She jumps up, she's furious, she turns around, she said, yes, for the third time. That's a little the way it is when people say to God, can you hear me? And the funny thing is that often the divine power works in threes because three is connected with the creative force. And I think it's appropriate to mention this in the year of creativity. Things generally come in threes. So that when the divine power, God, or a spiritual master, or whatever you want to call this, thing that works through the voice of God, which is the Holy Spirit, generally there is help provided for the people because they have opened themselves by asking for help. But they don't recognize it. Why not? Because it's not the answer they were looking for. And so they ask again and again, and the answer comes several more times until finally the person gets so disgusted and says, well, shouts out, God, can you hear me? And of course, how to survive spiritually in our times? The trick then is to learn how to listen to the voice of God or the Holy Spirit, to know when the divine power is speaking to us. The answer may not be what we're looking for. Victoria is an African who works as an expatriate nurse in one of the oil-producing countries in the Persian Gulf. And she said she had learned the importance of keeping a dream journal. Now, a dream journal can be very important for helping with spiritual survival, because, as she mentioned, dreams will often tell you what's coming, and at other times they will give you an understanding of what has happened in the past, so that even though the trouble isn't removed, it helps to have an understanding of why this trouble haunts us. She saw the power of dreams to foretell the future, and she said, before any self-directed change can occur outwardly, it must first arise within us. First the dream, then the reality. So this is the role of dreams in her daily life. She said there are three things. Number one, dreams guide her directly what to do. Second, they help her get insight or understanding of her daily activities. Three, they assure her of the protection of the Mahanta, the Living Ek Master. She worked in this country, as mentioned, an expatriate nurse. It was in a large hospital in the maternity ward. Her immediate supervisor was another African woman. There were four of them. Victoria was the fourth and the last to come. And one of the African women there was the supervisor. Now above her supervisor was someone called the regional matron, who was an Indian woman. The regional matron was constantly making trouble in this hospital, and the supervisor would do everything she could to balance things out and keep this person from causing too much of a morale problem among the nurses in this hospital. But one day, the regional matron succeeded in getting rid of this African supervisor, and the latter was fired and sent back home. The regional matron replaced the supervisor with a man, and let's see, this all began back in 1992, and by now it was 1995. By this time, Victoria was the only African left working in this hospital. But she was a hard worker. She knew she did her job well, and the patients loved her because They could tell that here was someone who cared for him. But this regional matron hated her. One day, the new supervisor called her in, and he said, "You know, I shouldn't be telling you this, but for some reason, that person hates you. And so, to keep you out of her way, I can do two things so you can stay in the country. One is to post you to one of our health centers that's out in the outer regions, and the other is to put you on the night shift." Well, Victoria felt this wasn't fair. She went home, told her husband. Her husband became very upset. Without telling Victoria what he was about to do, he went to the regional matron, and he pretty much laid it on the line. He said, "Don't threaten to fire my wife, or I'm coming back." And this made the regional matron quake, you know. And so the matron went to someone called the director general. He is the big boss, okay? And she said, "This man came and he threatened me and everything else," which really was not the case. And she was then trying to use this as an excuse to get Victoria fired and sent out of the country. So the director general called Victoria, and this was at the end of the week, and he said, "Monday morning, if you could, would you come into my office so that we can talk? And if you'd bring your husband with you." So Victoria looked it all over and she says, "Well, this is the end of it." She knew this was going to be her termination. But Monday morning, before the meeting with the director general, she went into contemplation and she asked the Mahanta, the Living Ek Master, she said, "Please speak to the director general before our appointment." And then she visualized the director general in their appointment speaking kindly to her. After contemplation, she and her husband went to the appointment. The director general invited them into the office, and he was very kind. And he too said, "For some reason, this has been brought to my attention, so I would like to hear your side of the story." And her husband told his side of the story, what he had said and why. And the director general looked it all over, and he said that Victoria had always had a good job report. Her patients liked her, and he was very happy to have her. And that, as far as he was concerned, the case was closed. And so at that point, the case was closed. This was a case of spiritual survival, where Victoria was in a heap of trouble. But because she asked for help, the answer came. And it came in somewhat an unexpected way. She had expected that she was going to get sent out of the country. And then about this time, she was writing down some of her dreams in her little dream journal, and she said before this she had never paid much attention to reading her dream journal over again. She said she wrote the dreams, but she didn't review them. But just as it happened, the page opened up to, oh, I think it was a couple years earlier, and she saw a dream that showed her very clearly that at some point she was going to be posted to one of the health centers in a remote region of that country. A little bit later, it was about exactly a week later, she had another dream that said all four of the African nurses in this particular hospital were going to be fired, given a ticket, and sent home. And so she realized, by looking through her dream journal, that this was how fate, or the line of destiny, had been arranged. This is what was to have been. The other three African nurses were all fired, given a plane ticket, and sent home. But when she asked for help from her spiritual guide, her line of destiny was changed. Now I have to mention about a true spiritual guide. Sometimes people don't understand the role or the place of a guide, whether it's Christ or the Mahanta, or whether it's a Buddha, or whether it's the leader of a church somewhere, a very definite direct connection with the Holy Spirit. Over all creation is the Creator, God. We know it as Sugmad, doesn't make any difference. We know the Creator is God or is Sugmad, it's the same. The voice of God is the active force that goes out and was responsible for the actual creation of all the universes. This voice of God is what is known as the Holy Spirit, or sometimes the Spirit of God, or the creative force, or whatever. But it's a neutral force. It simply obeys or does the will of the Creator. Now, a true spiritual master is in tune with the voice of God. A human manifestation that people can see and understand. And in that role, his will is that of divine spirit. And that's all. Now in Ekankar, this force, this divine force, works both in the outer master and also through the inner master. That means the Ekist have the additional benefit of a master who can come in the dream state and teach him there, or sometimes by direct soul travel, sometimes through contemplation or something of this nature. But the inner master is there, working when the individual sleeps or prays or meditates or contemplates. And the outer master is out here to provide the books, the discourses, and to give talks such as this evening. But they are not two separate things. They're just two different aspects of a being serving this Holy Spirit. After this was all over, Victoria had her job, and she still did at the time of this writing, but she realizes too that life is a tenuous affair and everything changes. From her experience, she learned three important things. First, never be too lazy to record your dreams. Second, review past dreams from time to time. And thirdly, do the spiritual exercises, and many of the bad things you dream about can be averted according to the wish or direction of the Mahanta, the Living Egg Master. One of the little known benefits of a spiritual master is that fate can be changed. A person's line of destiny can be altered if the individual has grown spiritually. If an individual has grown enough spiritually, then certain experiences of karma are no longer necessary. Often these can be worked out in the dream state. Sometimes people who are supposed to have a certain experience out here get it perhaps in a dream, and they wake up the next morning saying, "What a vivid dream. Sure hope it doesn't happen here." It won't, because it has already happened. They've paid whatever they owed. Often God brings spiritual aid to you because you have first opened your heart to someone else. And people who don't hear God have often not opened their heart. And so when God does answer anyway, they don't recognize the help. But sometimes the help comes in such a different way that we were not expecting it there until later. But no matter, the help came. We notice the effect. We notice that we feel better. In the 1998 Ekankar Journal, I wrote an article, "God Loves Pets Too." It's available in the book room this time. In it, I told a story about Nikki. She's the one who had found two collies on her kitchen doorstep, and she took them home. Well, she called the owner, and the owner came and got them. But so sometime after this, Nikki was again home. She'd been having a very hard time. She was working a part-time temporary job, doing contract work. But the stress was awful. Some days it just was too much, plus raising her children, that she didn't know how she was going to make it from one end of the day to the other. And this particular day happened to be one of those days. It was a dark day. She was so worried about her problems that she was having a hard time keeping her faith. And sure enough, she hears something outside the kitchen door, opens the door. This time, two more dogs. This time, they're not collies. They are two big red Irish setters. And they're huge. Very playful, but lost. So she entertains them after she caught them, you know, and she looked at their collar, got a phone number, and there was even an address on it, on their collar. So she says, "Well, I'll leave a message with the owner and so their daddy can come pick them up." In the meantime, she went out in the yard with the dogs. And of course, being Irish setters, the first thing they noticed was the frog pond next door. And the two dogs jumped in, paddled around in there for a bit, came out, shaking off the water, smelling like fish, and generally being disagreeable, as a wet, smelly dog will be. Well, she thought this over and she said, "Well, this time she's not going to sit and wait for the owner to come. You know, what do you do with these two big Irish setters? They're huge. And they were so big, you know, they could maybe run away with her. So she said, okay, everybody in the van. So she and the dogs got in the van. She went off driving to the address, which was quite a ways from home. And when she pulled up to the yard of the dog's owner, she saw that the fence was down. I think some of you know the feeling. These dogs were big and they just flattened the fence. And after that, the world was theirs. And they happened to find her home, or so she thought. Well, nobody answered the door, so she tried the garage door. It was open. She manages to push one of the big Irish setters in there, gets the door shut, looks around, the other one's gone, running down the street chasing two people on a bicycle. So she gets in the van, chases after them for a couple of blocks, finally catches the dog. Here she's in the van again with this wet dog that smells like a fish. And the dog is all, of course, very interested on where she's driving and leans right up against her, you know. So she gets back to the garage, is able to stuff this dog in the garage door too before the other one gets out, and leaves. Goes home, takes a shower. And then she's thinking about it. She says, you know, what's going on here? Dogs, two dogs the first time. I know the Holy Spirit was trying to show me the need for service. I had to do something to get those dogs back home. In the story in the journal, you'll read that she had first seen these dogs in a dream. And so when she came to the kitchen door, when they had come, they knew each other. Dogs were very happy and friendly. Well, this time, these dogs she hadn't seen in a dream, but she's wondering, hey, this is the second set of dogs. What's going on here? And then it came to her. She was feeling a lot better than she'd felt before. And she realized that Mahanta had sent the two dogs to lift the stress that had weighed her down so heavily. The Ek, or the Holy Spirit, had sent them to give her the spiritual aid. Until then, she thought she was the one doing them a favor. Now, this is how the Holy Spirit works. If it hadn't been for her level of consciousness, she might have overlooked this and then tomorrow said, dear Lord, why aren't you taking some of the load off? How to survive spiritually in our times. So I would like to leave you with this thought this evening. Open your heart to love, because God loves you. Thank you very much. May the blessings be with you.